Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio.
Is about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here with Carl and Linda Botta, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here, 221-1402, and it's another beautiful day in Reading. In January the 13th, we set a record yesterday on our temperature. A record. It's January. It's mid-January. I'm running around in shorts and a T-shirt. What's going on here? Hey, let's introduce our crew. Kelly Frost Jr., our producer, who actually slept an extra 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm just kind of waking up this morning.
Well, we all do sometimes like that. So how come you got an extra 4 hours?
Because I have to be here all day, because Steve Gibson's off tonight.
Oh.
Okay.
Pulling a long one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, my soulmate, Linda Bott.
Well, good morning. It's great to be in the seat here this morning, and it is a beautiful day. Okay, I've got a couple things I want to cover before we get onto the roll.
All right.
You mind?
Yeah. Go
for it. Okay. First thing is, you know how we love a good fight.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm talking about in the ring.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do. That was one of the things I was kind of surprised to see is you like boxing. You like that mixed martial arts. You like, you know.
I do. I just like hard core, just boom, you know. I mean, really, good is good. I don't care what it is. Good is good. So boxing is really a beautiful sport. And so I wanted to say that out of USA Today, in boxing terms, it means the sport's biggest names, pay-per-view attractions, and the most skilled champions of the last 20 years. How could I not like boxing and be with you?
Well, you know, I enjoy physical contact.
You were either watching gun shows or mixed martial arts. That's what you get with Carl.
Well, no, sometimes I watch
Westerns. Yeah, and it's fun, though. Jones was battered in a one-sided loss to Joe Calza in November. De La Hoya was defeated by Manny, I got to get this name right, Pacquiao, in the most lopsided loss of his career. Evander Holyfield, who was a beautiful boxer, 46, is still trying to regain the heavyweight title, but his career as an elite fighter has long passed. So,
yeah, he lost the fight to this 7-foot-tall Russian, but he fought him for the whole time.
Well,
see, fought him pretty well.
That, to me, is exciting.
Yeah.
It's always about the good guys against the bad guys, where you pick out, you know, who sometimes that doesn't matter. It's just you want the underdog to just kick. So here's the five fights to watch in 2009. Andre Berto, Chad Dawson, Antonio Margarito, Manny Pacquiao. Help me if I'm incorrect with that name. Paul Williams. And so we're going to be watching some pay-per-view this year with these fights. Cool. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is my skin crawled, okay, about the ruling on Madoff.
Oh, this is the guy that had the Ponzi scheme and stole $50 billion from people, stars, and he put widows and orphans on the street.
They
literally.
I just, what is wrong with this picture? It just, okay, so what this means is that he gets to stay in a $7 million home before he goes to trial or pleads guilty as authorities probe a $50 billion investment fraud to which they say he confessed a month ago.
Well, you know, he used to be walking on the streets, and people were a little bit upset about that. He was going out for sushi and all this, even though that he was, you know, supposedly under house arrest. So now they're going to confine him to a $7 million penthouse with, like, how many rooms? 12 rooms?
I don't know, but now he can order up sushi.
Yeah, well.
So, anyway.
Well, you know, this is indicative of some of the things that are going on and some of the things we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about some news of the odd, but we're going to be talking about where your money's going. We're also going to be talking about things that are happening right here in our town. We're going to talk about our guest Thursday, who's going to be Congressman Herger, and how we need a little bit of help from our listeners. So this is Carl Linda Botta, Free Fire Radio, your News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. Hey, what a great bump that is. This is Carl and Linda Bott for Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. All right. You know, I've got to start off the show like this before we get into a little more serious stuff, but it happens in California. Police arrested a Greenfield man for allegedly arranging to sell his 14-year-old daughter into marriage into exchange for, get this, $16,000, 100 cases of beer, and several cases of meat. And the only reason the cops found out about it was the guy didn't pay him. So he went back and wanted his daughter back. So
this is very accepted in other countries.
Well, you know what? I was wondering what kind of beer it was. I mean, was it a light beer? Was it a full beer? Was it imported?
Was it Kobe beef?
Yeah, what kind of beef was it? Was it like hamburger? Was it steak? I mean, come on. I mean, $16,000. I mean, she was 14, you know. Anyway, they arrested they arrested the 18-year-old man on suspicion of statutory rape. The girl did go willingly with the guy, but $16,000, 100 cases of beer. So now we know what a 14-year-old girl is worth in Greenfield, California. Where is that?
Where is that? It's south of Lake Monterey.
South of
I used to live down there.
Oh.
It's not real big.
I understand that they've got a problem in that city with a lot of underage marriages and things like that. So maybe, I don't know, it might be something to take a look at. Hey, we've got somebody on the phone here.
Good morning, Valerie.
Good morning.
Oh, listen to that sexy morning voice. Now, you might know this, the voice and the name, Valerie Ng, who is the voice behind the public radio over at Jefferson and also introduces all the shows at the Cascade. Mm-hmm. What a lineup you've got coming up.
I know, we're starting to sort of get into a busy season at the Cascade Theater.
Well, why don't you spiel for us?
Well, we've got, first of all, happening Wednesdays during the entire month of January, we have our Dinner and a Movie film series, which is great because people have been clamoring for more film to take place on that beautiful screen. You know, we've got the biggest screen north of, I think, San Francisco, and it really doesn't get used very often. And so I came up with this idea with Donnie Greenberg, you know, the culinary goddess and a blogger, a few years ago, and it's taken us until now to finally get it together. But we're showing a food-related film every Wednesday, followed by a cooking demonstration and class after the film. We started last week and had several hundred people show up, and it was great. Everybody learned how to make mozzarella stuffed meatballs. But this week we're showing the film No Reservations. Have you seen that movie?
Tell us who's the star.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is the star.
Oh, yes.
And the little girl who was in Little Miss Sunshine, Abigail Breslin.
Yes.
And she's a chef who has some real strict rules for herself, and she ends up having to take on her niece and really doesn't know what to do with a child. And so the movie, you know, has a lot to do with children and cooking. So we thought we'd do a class following the film in cooking with and for kids.
Oh, that's great.
So Donnie will be on stage leading a demonstration on how to make homemade macaroni and cheese. And her assistant tomorrow night will be my 11-year-old daughter, Sophia.
How adorable. So that starts, so you have three more shows than on Wednesday nights, the cooking and the food shows.
Yeah. So this Wednesday is Donnie, Sophia, and her friend Emily. Next Wednesday is Babette's Feast, a great foreign film. And Nancy Matthews of Chocolat de Nanette will join Donnie and teach everyone how to make chocolate truffles and chocolate mousse. Mm. And then the last Wednesday in January, we'll show one of my favorite independent films, Waitress, about an amazing pie chef and her sad life. Andrea Sheroyne, who used to own the Rene Jules Patisserie across the street from the Cascade Theater, will join Donnie, and you will smell the pies baking in the oven before the film is over and learn how to make some great pie tricks. And one of the great things is that the audience gets to taste. They get to sample the items that are being prepared.
It's kind of like when you did, was it last year that you did shows about dance and then mm-hmm. taught dance classes afterwards? So it's
right.
kind of an interactive thing.
Exactly. You get to learn something and have a lot of fun doing it. And we make it really affordable. You know, in this economy, people need to find ways to have fun in a way that doesn't break their pocketbook. And so we've tried to make it really affordable for people.
What are the tickets?
$10.
That's a good price.
Oh, wow.
That's a good price.
What a great date.
Yeah. Nice Wednesday night thing to do, 6:30. So it's a little, you know, early enough so that you can, you can even bring the kids, especially on Wednesday night. It'll be a great one to bring kids to.
That's this Wednesday.
That's, yeah, tomorrow night.
Right.
Tomorrow night.
And
what time does it start?
6:30. Well, the door's open at 6.
And so everybody's home in bed in time if they've got early days.
Oh, yeah. We were out of there before 9 last week, which was wonderful. And those are just the films that we're doing on Wednesday. We've got this weekend on Saturday, we've got Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood, who are the guys from the television show Whose Line Is It Anyway? Great comedians.
Are there tickets left for that?
What?
Are there tickets left for that?
There are.
Oh. That would be something that would be so much fun.
It's going to be what's so great about this show, you know, none of it's scripted. It's all improv. I mean, they have ideas, but they take their ideas from the audience. So it's a real audience participation show. And these guys are just, well, they're just a little loony. So.
Okay. Well, great. We wanted to get the information out about the cooking shows that are going along with the film. And Valerie, we hope that you start calling on a regular basis to tell us what's happening at the Cascade.
You bet. I would love to. And for those who want more information, you can go online to cascadetheater.org and find out more about everything we're doing in the theater.
And next time we'll have you in the studio and we'll do some fun sharing.
Oh, great.
Okay. Thanks so much for calling in, Valerie.
You
Ng.
Bet.
It's 8:20 in the morning. It's 50 degrees. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, and we're going to see you on the other side.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio here on Newstalk 1400 KQMS. And this portion of our show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop, home of Espresso Joe, which has great coffees. It's a retail and wholesale tobacco outlet there. Plus, they have the best walk-in humidor in the North State. Why don't you go down there and see Joe and Shelley at Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop. That's where we kind of hang out after the show. Okay.
And you love your cigars.
Oh, you know what? I do. And I enjoy a cigar now and then. But, hey, you know, I've got some good news today.
What?
It looks like that the state controller, even though they've stopped making payments for dozens of public construction projects around the state. Our three major projects, the bridges at Cypress Avenue, Airport Drive, and Dana Drive, so far are getting paid off. You know, a lot of that, of course, is federal money. But right now, the construction is going on. That doesn't mean it's not going to stop later on. But for right now, it looks like our bridges are, they're going to still keep building them, thank God. You know, so we won't go back to a half a bridge. We're backed up for 12 days. But there is still some uncertainty. They could be taking that Dana Drive to downtown Reading project, and that could go on hold. But so far, everything is going on. Now, things that kind of get me going. Now, I've talked about it before, but this is something that I would really like to hear some of our listeners today. It's about the bailout money. They don't know where the bailout money, that first bunch, that 700 of that $350 billion, they don't know where it went to. The Associated Press.
How did it happen?
That's a good question. I'll tell you why it happened. It's because we've got a bunch of idiots working in our government. You know, they thought, oh, hey, what we need to do is throw out the stimulus money. Let's throw out $350 billion. Well, where's it going, though? Nobody thought to put a tail on the money.
Yeah, but it had to go somewhere.
Well, no, it went to the banks. I mean, they know where it went to, but they don't know where the money went to after that. Once it got to the banks, where'd the money go? How did they use it? Did they help those people that were having problems with mortgages? Did they help the people that were having problems in the credit side so they could get a home? They don't know. Because
that's embarrassing.
The banks, some of the banks don't even know where the money went to because it went into a general fund. Bruce, good morning.
Well, good morning there, Carl, Linda.
Hi.
Hey, I tell you what, and I haven't even finished with this story yet, but what you've got something here too, right?
Well, absolutely. You can go on the computer and check it out. I'd heard the story on it, but it's just the wasteful mismanagement once the feds get your money, and it doesn't matter what level, they're going to burn it up. But when Harry Reid decided that he no longer wanted to smell the tourists visiting in the Capitol back there, and they went and decided they'd build a visitor center.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Real interesting because they all agreed to do that, and it started out with $61 million. That's about 5.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, in 2 years, it ballooned up to $265 million.
Yeah.
Well, they just finished it. and it's open. And the total cost of this project is $621 million.
$621 million, which is $540 billion more, or $1 million more than it was started
at.
Yep,
and they said it was that there was created big black holes that nobody knows what's going on. So this just gives an insight to what happens when the government handles the money. They don't know where the Katrina money's all at. They will not know where this bailout money's going to. You know, we've got Crooks Incorporated running our country back there, and if people don't wise up and start getting rid of these guys, because they're lifetime members. Once they get in there, they never get out.
Well, you know, Bruce, what they've just done, too, from Pelosi has just introduced a bill or introduced new rules changes to make it even harder for the opposition to try and present another bill. We're going to talk about that when Wally Herger comes on Thursday.
Yeah, that will be interesting to ask Herger some questions. But I don't know whether you're as frustrated as I was talking to Arnstadt and Nielsen about the $9 to $11 billion on the illegal issue that he says that they can't do anything about because they can't get it to the floor. Can't they filibuster those guys down there if they won't bring it up for discussion?
Well, you know what? I don't know even if they have enough people in there, because I think at a certain point, you've got to have so many votes. They can bring in so many votes and overcome a filibuster. So I don't know, Bruce. Hey, Bruce, we've got to take a hard break here, but thanks for calling, because I've got more on the other side here, too. Thanks. Okay, hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. News Talk 1400 KQMS, and we are upset about where our money's going to. Join us on the other side and let us know how you feel. Hey, this is Carl Linda Bott, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Phone lines here are 221-1402, and we're talking about the government and spending our money. You know, the Associated Press contacted 21 banks that received at least $1 billion in government money apiece and asked them, how much has been spent, what was it spent on, how much is being held in savings, and what's the plan for the rest? None of the banks could provide specific answers or would. Some banks said they simply don't know where the money was going. You know, Regions Financial Corporation, who received $3.5 billion, is not tracking how it's spending that money. You know, so this troubled asset relief program, which earmarked that $700 billion, about the size of the Dutch economy, nobody knows where that, you know, there's no strings on that. You know, they're saying is that when they summoned the bankers to say, hey, where's this money going to? You know, and they implored them to lend it to the people. But there's no process in place that says they didn't use it to buy other companies, to pay off, you know, CEOs to do that. There's just none there. How could this happen? This is our money. And yet we continually seem to put the people in charge that want to do this to us. You know, what's going on here? Is anybody, you know, and the plan now for the near future when President Obama comes in is more, including giving money back to people that don't even pay taxes. You know, I don't understand that part. You know, it's everybody gets this money. Well, why? Has everybody paid money into taxes to be able to get to get some of this money back? I don't think so. So what's the purpose of that? That's like going out of town and saying, "Here, let me spend my money on you. You haven't done anything, but here, let me give you money because I know you're going to spend it on something to help the economy. You know, I know you're not going to spend it on drugs or alcohol or anything like that." David, good morning.
Good morning. If I can know, I feel just exasperated as you do about this. It's kind of like when your kids come to you and want to borrow money to pay this and pay that, and you just give them the money instead of taking them down there and paying whatever they want paid.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of that. It's mind-boggling that they don't know where this money is at. I really don't have – I don't know. I'm just totally exasperated by it. And hearing you talk about it, it's just – I don't know. What do you think? It's just, how can you not know?
How do you not know where $350 billion goes? I mean, the banks, one of them says we don't keep track of it. We don't know. We put it in a general fund. But what's that mean? I mean, I know people that have lost their homes that belong to this banking system that got billions of dollars, yet they didn't come down to help them, to keep them in their home. They didn't help them out for the, you know, 3 or 4 months or renegotiate their contracts. No. So where'd that money go to?
So they don't keep... the banks don't keep any kind of, they have to have some kind of, I don't know, this is just,
I'm sure that there's some kind of accounting when it goes in. But if you take, say you've got a general fund and you've got, they put it into this general fund. There's so many entities taking that money out of there. It doesn't say like, okay, I get $3 billion from the government. I'm going to put it in my mortgage side of my business. You know, so I know that money's going to be helping my customers with the mortgage. When they put it in a general fund, that means anybody in the banking system, any of those little entities can probably draw on that, which they did. So you don't know where that money went to.
Well, it seems like the banks would have records of people they did help with their mortgages.
You would think that.
I mean, anyway, that's all I have to say. And I really appreciate you guys, too. Just want you guys to know that. Thank you. You guys are a big uplift to the community. I really like your guys' show. I just want to let you know that.
Well, David, thank you so much. And I tell you what, you know, it's our loyal listeners like you all that keep us going.
Thanks
so
a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks. Talk to you later.
You know, this comes down to the trust. The trust that we feel, you know, we come from, we come from stock, both you and I, where both of our fathers served. My father was in the Korean War. And things were done on a handshake. I mean, you trusted your neighbor. You know, you looked him in the eye and you gave him your word. And yeah. Bottom line, that's what I came from. There's accountability.
Well, it's responsibility. You go back in there. You're absolutely right, hon.
And so we think we're going to trust our government. We want to trust our government because it's kind of like our fathers, the people that we put our trust in and our children's trust in. And to have this kind of atrocity with money. Let's go to the phones.
Bob, good morning.
Hello.
Hey, you're up, Bob.
Yeah. Hey, my question was, I think the ones that should answer this, and they won't because they've got a problem, and that's Congress.
Absolutely. Now, you know, Wally Herger, Congressman Herger, who has been elected 13 or 14 times, he's going to be on our show Thursday. And I think this is a fair question, Bob. What do you think?
Oh, definitely.
Let's hold his feet to the fire.
Well, you know, he's our representative, and we say, hey, Congressman, where'd this money go? How come there's no leash on this money?
Exactly.
And don't be pointing fingers because this was
there. You go.
Because he voted for it. When you start doing things like this, you know, you start kind of. I start taking a step back and saying, just what else is going on up there? What about this $620 million little building these guys put together? And you know how they rewarded themselves, Bob, for this type of mismanagement of our funds?
Oh, sure.
They rewarded themselves with a raise this year.
Hello, Pelosi.
I don't see any of them not taking the money. That's another question we ought to ask.
Sure.
Hey, Bob, thanks so much for your phone call.
Hey, you're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Well, thanks a lot. Hey, George, good morning.
Hey, I'm back. Hey, you know, on this money thing, this is nothing new. We've had this for years. They just draw a big bunch of money in, throw it out on the table, and nobody cares what happens. They're up in the money. They got the money. They don't have to worry about probably even paying taxes. Their attorneys probably take care of that.
Well, I care. You know, that's the other thing, too. When you start talking about, I'm going to raise taxes on the very rich. Well, guess what? The very rich, they don't care. They've got legions of tax guys that will save them money. But you know, you're that guy that just built your business to $250,000 or around that. You know, it's taken your whole life. You're finally starting to be able to get ahead. You're the one that's going to get hammered. Not George Soros. Not those rich guys, those fat cats out of Hollywood. They ain't going to touch them.
No, and our politicians are the same way. We throw the money out to them. They throw it out to wherever they want to. They don't have to. They don't have to account for it.
Well, you know what? We need to hold them accountable. We need to hold people accountable for what they do. You know.
Why don't you tell us how to get in that direction? I'm an old man, and I've been trying for a long time, and I can't get it together.
Well, you know what though? But I know, George, that you know how to do it. It's taking responsibility for your actions. And if you don't take responsibility for your actions, then we as the voters have to take responsibility for you. Then if you don't want to be responsible with our assets, with our money, with our environment, then guess what? We fire you. Now, we have the opportunity to do that every 6 years and every 2 years. And if we don't do that, then shame on us.
What seems to happen with that? I've last for the last dozen years, we haven't got anything worth having. So I don't know. I'm with you. I think we need to get in and work a little harder and get it back on in our direction rather than just throwing it out to the politicians.
Hey George, could you clarify what you meant by in the last dozen years we don't have anything worth?
Well, no, I don't mean that. I'm not saying Bush was a bad president. I'm saying thinking this last part of his term was bad because he didn't do anything. He's a lame duck, I think what you call him, and things like that. I think he's done a lot of good, but as far as money is concerned, those people up there do not care. They don't need the money. Clintons are some of the richest people in the country. The Bushes are wealthy. You go right on down the line, they're all wealthy, so they're talking about us little peons down here paying the taxes and supporting everything, and them pulling money out and put them in big funds,
yeah,
and what have you. And that's what I'm talking.
I tell you what, George, you know how we change that? It takes one person to take that first step, and then the other people will go with them. And they're going to say, this has got to be changed. And you know what? I'm more than happy to light that match if it means change that helps us in the North State. Thank you so much for your phone call. We got to take a break here.
Hey, have a good one.
All right, thanks. Hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott. We're on Free Fire Radio, and we got the phone lines backing up. You know what? What's going on with our money? What's going on with the ideal responsibility of our assets? Join us on the other side.
Welcome back to KQMS News Talk 1400. This is Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Anything jewelry, anything, any of the best gems from around the world, Leonard Silverman can get for you because he's got 40 years in experience with worldwide connections. The place to go, the place to trust. Now, speaking of trust, let's go to Martin, one of our callers.
Martin.
Hi. Good morning, Martin.
Hey, I saw this coming the minute I heard President Bush announce that this is what we have to do. I could just see all of the politicians' ears perk right up.
Oh,
because all they see is a huge pie and how they're going to get their slice of it.
Well, you know, the thing, too, is, too, when they're talking about with what's coming up with, and here's the thing about it, it's not just Bush, it's Obama.
It's all of them.
He's talking about another $350 billion, and they're talking about, well, what kind of... you know, they're talking about infrastructure products or projects, and they're talking about Harry Reid wants to build a museum over a $2 million museum in Las Vegas for organized crime.
Let the organized criminals pay for it from their prison cells.
Hey, I tell you what, we've already got a monument to organized crime. It's called Congress.
Yeah, exactly.
that was good. Yes.
Oh, thanks. And every now and then, you know, it's like a blind hog, I find an acorn.
Well, I'd be interested to see how fat the coffers of all these politicians are coming to the next election cycle.
Well, you know what happened is, like, you know, and here's something, you know, talking about that, you know, they had the woman that's going to be looking after the labor and jobs, and they asked her, how do you feel about these unions doing, how about doing away with these secret ballots for unions? And she refused to answer that. She said, I need to talk to you in a closed session. So she wouldn't, you know, we're talking transparency in the Obama.
Right.
You know, everything's transparent.
But yet they're not being transparent.
Yeah, they're not being transparent. But going back to our original premise here on this money, you're absolutely right. They've got the money. Where's it going to? And you're right. How much of it's going to kind of like filter its way back into their little pockets?
Oh, you can bet it's going to be a chunk. I mean, if you tell a guy, here, I'm going to give you $100, but you got to give me 50 back, what do you think he's going to say?
Well, he'll probably, he may negotiate with you, but he's going to give you something back.
Oh, yeah, sure. even if you say, give me 75 of it back, what's he going to say?
Yeah,
he'd say where and when.
Yeah, because
it's
free. Give
me the 25, you keep the 75. Yeah. We don't even need to make that transaction. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, it's this kind of thing that when you see it happening, you know, you think, okay, we need to help the economy, blah, but when you do it like this, when have you ever taken money? It's like it's like green crack.
Yeah.
You know, when you give them the money, it's like going downtown, you find the guy on the street who has just finished one binge, and you give him $100.
Right.
And you go, here, I'm sure you'll spend this on food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that there are strings attached. We just don't see them.
Okay.
Okay?
You've got more confidence in it. Oh, I mean, strings the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Hey, Martin, thank you so much for your phone call.
All right, talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
You know, yesterday, Carl, we're going to be taking callers in a second, but I just have to say yesterday we kind of tuned in a rush on the way to the gym, and there was a guy that got was on the phone that is my new fan. I'm a new fan of AJ.
AJ, out of Houston.
That guy went on the biggest rant, and it we just I said, we can't get out of the car. We got to listen to this guy.
Yeah.
And Rush let him have a whole
segment.
Segment. Yeah. It was great.
Hey, Neil, what you got?
Hey, you know, the running out of money thing, and to where you're hearing a whole lot about California having to maybe cut back on essential services like police and stuff.
Yeah.
I was in looking at a Harley just
a Harley?
Couple of days ago. I used one.
Yeah, a Harley?
And I saw a police bike. I think it had 10,000 or 11,000 miles on it. And, you know, I'm wondering about, you know, these essential services, why the police department has to trade in a perfectly good bike so they can buy a brand new one. The money, I mean, maybe they're getting a deal on them or something like that, but I don't get why that is essential.
Now, is this a police bike that was used by
yes,
the police
was,
or just one of
a,
those Harley models that said
this
police
is a,
on it?
This is a... one of the deals I do for the,
okay.
I don't know if it was Highway Patrol or Reading Police or whatever,
yeah.
But that seems like an incredible waste of money. I mean, I could go out and buy a new Electra Glide Screaming Eagle right now, but I don't. I mean, I'm riding a 99 because I have priorities that, you know, I'd rather spend money on something that may be more beneficial to me. And having been a car dealer for a lot of years, used to go to GSA auctions, same thing. Government vehicles, low mileage, perfectly good.
Yeah.
But they take them, make them available to the public. I bought a Suburban that had a $9,500 wholesale Kelley Blue Book value for under $5,000.
Wow.
And that's money just going out the window. Now, I sold it and made good money on it, but... I have to really wonder if they could just quit, you know, letting the cops who I really support ride on new Harleys, you know, every 2 years or year or whatever they do when they trade them in.
I'm sure that
and then maybe hire some more cops or keep some more cops on the payroll. That would seem to make sense to me.
Yeah, let's stretch the life cycles on these. Hey, I've got to take a quick break
okay,
here, but
thanks
a lot. No, thanks for calling here.
We should check that out.
Okay, look, this is Carl Lindebaugh on Free Fire Radio. News Talk 1400 KQMS. Join us on the other side. This is Carl Lindebaugh. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at News Talk 1400 KQMS. Max, you're up. We got a short period of time here. Max, good morning.
Yeah, hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Have you heard anything about the checking of septic tanks all over California?
Yes. We had a show devoted to that one with the County Board of Supervisors who voted unanimously against that new proposal about the way they wanted to do things with septic tanks.
Yes, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. I turned your program on late this morning, so
it was
on the other day, so I missed it.
Yeah, and...
This is a scam, just like the MTB and gas was.
Right.
And we've got to put the thing away, or they'll close every town from here to Susanville.
Well, you're absolutely right. And what they're trying to do with the septic thing is, you know, they're trying to mix apples and oranges. Something that works with the water, with the groundwater close to the surface, and you're by the ocean. You know, there could be reasons to be checking on some of these. But when you get your drinking water from 100 feet down, then it's negated by that in the septic systems. And the way they want to do it is going to cost thousands of dollars.
Yes, it will.
So,
well, anyway, I wanted to call in about that, and I appreciate your thought on it there.
Well, you know what? If you go to our website, Free Fire Radio, I don't know if you have a computer, but if you do, if you go to freefireradio.com and you look under archive shows,
yes.
You kind of like, go on down on that. I think we've got the lady's name and that show that says that when she's talking about what they were planning on doing. But I do remember is that the Shasta Board of Supervisors voted unanimously against it.
Fantastic.
It doesn't mean that
glad to hear that, Carl.
It doesn't mean that it can't pass, but you know, we're against it. Which reminds me is why we need the state of Jefferson. So hey, thanks a lot.
Exactly.
Yeah, and speaking of state of Jefferson, we're going to talk about that this week because you know, I've been doing some research on it. And
did you get that email I sent you?
I got that email you sent me. Which one? Okay,
the one on California about if you dissect.
Well, I did, but you know what? You sent it to me from an Apple computer onto my PC, and they're warring there. I've got it. I don't know what.
I'll print it out for you
all
then.
Right, thanks. Hey, look. We're going to have Congressman Herger on the show Thursday, tentatively scheduled. You know, he was going to be on tomorrow, but they had to shift it because they were doing their meetings then. So you need to write to us via that freefireradio.com. Write to us about the questions you want to ask him because there's so many. Or call in with the questions. It's 241-2682.
Not only that, we always want to remind you that this is your show, so email us if there's a specific topic that you want to get onto or a special guest that you want to hear from. We're here for you.
And by the way, there have been some topics that have been presented to me, and I'm researching them right now, including the one with TRICARE and Medicare not going together here. So just remember, this is Carl Lindebaugh from Free Fire Radio, and it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?